we all stand up.
Okay.
Okay.
It's we're at Faith Bible Church on Pauley Baalbek III. It's 6/26/2014. We're teaching through the book of Ephesians. We jumped off at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, where it said Paul talks about blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ in heavenly places. So we're going through our spiritual blessings tonight. We started last week, and we're going to do it tonight and possibly another week, and because there's so much included, and we are objects of God's grace, part two tonight. We're so blessed in Christ, and to think we're objects of God's grace, unmerited, undeserved favor. You know, so let's open up with prayer and pray that the Holy Spirit will actually just turn that light on in our minds to be able to grasp that. Dear Heavenly Father, we just lift up this time to you for your glory, Father. May you be honored and glorified, and may Christ be lifted up. May we know more who we are in Christ, who the Holy Spirit has made us, how we've been blessed, and how we're objects of your grace and totally undeserved. That we might know, even when we come up short in our lives, God, and every day we do, that you still see us in your Son as objects of your grace. And you deal with us by your grace, not by the law, not by punishment. As the law, if we do these things, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you'll be cursed. But by your grace, in view of your mercy, God, you says, Paul tells us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. So may we grow in grace tonight, Lord. And may we take what we're learning, may it become a fire in our bones, as the prophet in the Old Testament said. And may we just share this with other believers and unbelievers that don't know about salvation by grace through faith alone. So may your Holy Spirit just anoint me from within and be the true teacher here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So look at that. You start praying and people start popping up. Angels come falling. And so nice to see you, ladies. We're just getting started. So again, last week we're going to do a 2-3 part series in a series of we are objects of God's grace. What we want to realize is God's grace finds its greatest triumph and glory in the spirit of human weakness. You know, we think that sometimes I think we earn God's grace. Well, that's taught a whole lot in Christendom. You know, if you do these things, God will bless you. You know, it's just a form of the law. But we don't earn God's grace. Everything we have from God is based on His grace. And you're special. You're an object of God's grace, you know. But it shines when we realize it's in our weakness. Even in lived a Christian life, it's in our weakness that His powers may manifest. Let's go to Romans 5, 6 through 8. Romans 5, 6 through 8. This is talking about even before we knew Christ. But it's not only that. It's even after we know Christ. It's still grace. You know? That God don't take away His blessings. Right? So we got in verse, what did I say? 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So let's stop there for a sec. We were without strength. We couldn't make ourselves right with God. You know, you hear that today, right? It's a false gospel. Commit your life to God, right? Or come up an aisle, you know. Or to get right with God, you got to do this, commit your life, repent from all your sins, commit your life to God, right? That's to the unsaved, which is a false gospel. Or ask Jesus in your heart. Nowhere in Scripture does it say to ask Jesus in your heart. He does come and indwell our hearts, but it's, what's it say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and he will come and indwell our inner man by how? Through his Holy Spirit. So, they get it wrong. Most of Christendom gets it wrong, how to get saved. So you got a lot of people in churches that ain't even saved.
Right.
And now some churches will get it right, where you're saved. They understand you're saved by grace through faith, right? It's a gift of God, not of works, right? And some churches get that right, but then to be stay justified. What? You got to do this. First, you got to get water baptized, right? That's your first act of obedience, they would say. Or what else? How do you stay clean before God, do they tell you? 1 John 1:9, Christians by our soap, which we went over, and that's not a believer's verse. That's about an unbeliever. We find out in Paul's epistles, he's our apostle, right? He gives us our instructions, what Christ has truly accomplished to his death, burial and resurrection. He says we have redemption, forgiveness, sin. When you're asking God to forgive you, because without the shedding of blood, what? There's no forgiveness. We're asking, maybe we're not meaning that, but think about, like somebody could ask you something and you could get very hurt by it. And I go, that's really not what I meant. You know, Mom, do you really love me? Why would you ask such a thing? After all, you know, like mothers do, I birthed you, you know, with the pain I went through, and you treat me like that. You know? But asking God to forgive us after Christ said it's finished, Paul tells us we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What's that called? Trampling the grace of God underfoot. And so Satan is very subtle. He don't mind if you're getting this word. He doesn't. So cults get in this word, don't they? Jehovah's Witnesses, they make their own. You know, Mormons use the King James. Other cults use it. He don't care getting in the word. He don't want you to understand justification by faith. That not only are you saved by Christ's blood, not by works, you stay saved and you stay justified. It's a one-time act with continuing results, that God sees us as completely righteous. And there's motivation for obedience. But it's not to pay God back, as we're going to see. You can't pay back God's grace. But you know what? It's in a response to His grace that we want to obey Him. So, we see when we're without strength. So, why would somebody, when it says those in the flesh, Paul says, Romans 8:8, I think, cannot please God, why would they make an altar call to walk the aisle and commit your life to God? Those in the flesh cannot. So that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of religious people like Paul. Before he got saved, he was zealous, man, right? But the meanest guy, I've been listening to some teaching on that, and he was dragging. This is what you could become in the flesh. He was a legalistic Pharisee, the strictest Jewish sect there was. And he said, the law, blameless. Right? Did he say sinless? No. The outward following the law, he was following it, but he wasn't sinless. And he found out something. He said, but when he realized he was coveting, that's inward, it's not outward, you know. But Paul had such a zeal. Remember, he got letters from the chief priest to go drag them kingdom believers. And you know what they did? They would take them outside of, I believe, the synagogue, and they would flog them. First, they did their chest, I believe. Did you see that movie with Mel Gibson? The Passion. That's a pretty. There were some things in there, you know, a lot of Roman Catholicism. But if you want to see what really the crucifixion, it's not just a little bit of blood like you see in, you know, pictures, you know, a couple drops. The crucifixion was And the way they ripped him with the cat of nine tails, well, that's what Paul was doing. Men and women dragging them out of their homes, taking them, and then first they would go from their back and it would whip around and it would rip up their, they would be all ripped up. And then they turn them around. And then again, then it would take one side of the back and I believe the other. So it was like, I'm thinking 13, whatever adds up, three times to go to 39, I think 13. Some people didn't even survive it. But that's what Paul was doing. That's what legalism will do. It'll make you self-righteous, where you'll hate believers, actually. But what happened on that road to Damascus? When Christ saved Paul, Paul's mouth must have dropped. Because he said, who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom thou art persecuting, right? He was a changed man. When he got saved, Paul was one of the most loving, caring, compassionate men. That's what grace does. See, legalism can only make you a cold, self-righteous Pharisee, if you want. Grace makes you a loving, because grace, through grace, and that's the only way the Holy Spirit works in the dispensation of grace. He's not, it says, if the Spirit's leading you, you're not under law. So he's not leading us under law. But it's, God wants to produce agape, unconditional love in us. Even the people we don't like. He wants to produce that kind of love in us, you know. Again, for when we were, in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, so we couldn't save ourselves, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for ladies and gentlemen, nice moral people. He died for sinners. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth, or in my New King James it says, demonstrates his love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we commend our lives to him. It's, we couldn't do anything. And all we did was what? Believe a message that Christ gave Paul, what he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. And now I love this, because usually there's half a gospel that's being taught out there. You know, you hear full gospel churches? Yeah, right. You know, well, they're usually, they're right full, but usually they're full legalism, you know. But the church today, why do you think that Christians maybe that live a half, how could you say, a half spiritual walk, if you want, because only half evangelized, and that they don't usually get right, that Christ died for your sins, and then what is being taught, but then you got to get forgiven over and over and over. But if they get that right, see, salvation isn't forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't salvation. Let's keep reading. But God commendeth his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more. See, it's much, usually what's taught today is much less gospel. Much more than being now justified by his blood. So how are we, what's justified mean?
Declared righteous.
Exactly. By who?
God.
That's right. So I think, you know, when other people talk about you, I'd say take it up with God. He says, I'm righteous, you know. We shall be saved from wrath through him. So God doesn't have any wrath for us. But here's, we're getting the salvation. For if when we were enemies, we were helpless, right? We were spiritually dead. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. So what's 2 Corinthians 5, I can't remember. It said that we're ambassadors, as though God is speaking through us, or Paul was talking about it, but to us too. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. That's our message, that we tell people, God, Christ died for your sins. And the moment, if you'll trust that he did that alone, not you're making any commitment, you're going to repent from all your sins. Because I want to ask you, whoever has repented from all their sins? Whoever has become sinless? We will when we get new bodies at the rapture. Christ was the only, and he didn't have to become sinless. He was born sinless. But here's what true salvation is, and this is God has graced us. So we're justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, one moment we are an enemy, next moment we bleed a message of grace that Christ gave the Apostle Paul. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So through his death brought what? Reconciliation. It put us in a position, because of what Christ accomplished, that now we can come for salvation. We shall be saved by his what?
Life.
It's in his resurrection. See, in the resurrection is our justification. It says justification unto what? Life. This word life here is Z-O-E in the Greek. It means Zoe. It's a quality of life. It's resurrection life. So see, he forgave. He died for everyone, but everyone will never be saved. You got to trust so you can receive what he accomplished there. And when you trust, he died in your place. The Holy Spirit baptizes, dry cleans us. If you work, not water. He when you think of baptizing, don't always think of water. You know, everybody thinks, you know, water. Well, there is water in some places, but context depends on that word. In Romans 6, there's not a drop of water there. It's a spiritual baptism. And when you put baptism there, you just ruin the whole truth. And that's why people don't see their identification with Christ. The moment we trust that in his blood, he did that for us, the Holy Spirit places us into his death. We die who we were in Adam. We were buried who we were in Adam. And we rise, because Christ comes in us, with Zoe, his life. It's the quality of life that God has. It's spiritual life. That's salvation. And what's the Christian life then? God's life in us by his Holy Spirit. Christ in us, what? Expressing himself out of our personality. And that's a joy. It's not like I have to be a... You know, in legalistic churches, everybody dresses the same, right? Everybody does exactly what the pastor says. They don't think for themselves, you know. But you don't have to be like everybody else. God does give us instructions on, you know, our lives. And so we go by this. But we don't have to be a Xerox copy, you know. So anyway, we've been graced by life, right? And how can God use us? Think of every day. Do we all through the day just walking in the Spirit? You know, walking about 3 inches, you know, off the air? No. We get aggravated. Some, we get wrong thoughts. You know what I'm saying? We can get self-righteous. Everybody got a little Pharisee in them, you know. Impatient. Oh, I'm so convicting. You hear my wife laughing? You know, the one guy asked, is anybody out there, pastor, preacher, anybody out there sinless? And one guy raised his hand, you know. So his wife's sitting next to him, and he says, is he? And she folds her hands. The wife knows you, you know, or the husband knows you. So it's all by grace that God can use us, because what? Justification. That's why Satan tries to water that, twist it, mix it. He'll bring you into Israel's program of law, the signs and wonders. So you're chasing after this instead of learning really how to walk in the Spirit, a Spirit-empowered life by grace. So grace ceases to be grace if God is compelled to withdraw it because of human failure or sin. Go to Hebrews 4:16. And somebody would say, well, this is written to the Hebrews. Well, there's a lot of things in Hebrews we can learn from. And it is written to the Hebrews. Yet it's talking about some things accomplished at the cross. If they can, this will be a future book for them, and also what he wrote to the ones who were alive back then, whoever wrote Hebrews. It's a toss-up. Some Mid-X believers believe Paul wrote Hebrews. I do. I won't argue with somebody about it. And a lot of them don't. You know, there's reasons, but that's not why I do, but that's not the reason for the study tonight. But anyway, in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. Even God's throne is of grace. That we may what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, when do you need grace? When you don't deserve it, right? Always. Every second, every minute of every day we need grace. Because if God's grace, if it wasn't infinite and eternal, we would lose it. If it was up to us. But it's based on what Christ did, and it's infinite. You know, because God made a way to deal with the sin issue once and for all, now He can deal with us completely all by grace. Not by law, because Christ fulfilled the law. It was a contract with Israel, the nation Israel. And what did they say? We'll do everything He says. That was a very prideful statement. You know what they should have said? We already have a relationship with you. Can we kind of keep it like that? But see, it shows you a picture of the flesh. And not only Israel, it could be Christian flesh too, because it don't get any better. That flesh that's, you know, in us. It talks about how it's corrupting. It gets slicker, because you know why? It's been around a little bit longer, right? So it finds ways to get around. Like if you're growing in an area, it's just waiting. Remember what God told Cain? That sin wanted to have him, or I don't remember exact. I'm not going to go back there. But God says he needed to learn to deal with it. The flesh is always waiting. See? That's why we have to realize it's been crucified. There's that putting on the full armor of God. You know, it's a battle every day, every moment, right? Yeah. Because the flesh gets some thoughts, and then you got to say, nope, that's not me. You got to keep taking them thoughts captive, you know? And we'll battle that until the rapture. But praise God, we're going to bring in more glory now than I think ever, now pastors say that, ever in eternity, because in order to serve God now, we struggle. We won't have a sin nature to struggle with, or sickness or anything, you know, later in heaven. But now, we're trophies of God's grace, you know, because it's got to be Him in us doing it through. And all we do is we apply, we appropriate by faith. You build that edifice of doctrine in your soul when you're coming Thursday nights, when you're coming to church Sunday, when you're studying on your own. You're building it so when you go through battles. I feel a little bit battle-ridden this week, actually, you know. And you know what Satan wants to do? First, he's going to attack the message of what? The mystery that was hid from other ages, right? And he's going to try and mix it up. Get you not to see the difference, law and grace, or get you chasing experiences, extra biblical revelation, right? So he's going to attack the message, and if that don't stop you from sharing, he's going to attack the messenger. By religious people, people in your family. Yeah. And if that don't work, because Paul... Timothy, actually, remember when Paul told Timothy, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of courage? I think Timothy was feeling a little intimidated. They hated the message of grace. The Judaizers, and then in other worldviews, the false religions, they still do. You know, you can talk about Buddha at a party, right? Hinduism, you know, meditation. Hey, ooh, you're spiritual. Oh, you're spiritual? Let me talk about Christ. Whoa, you won them. Get back. You know? They hate the message of Christ. And remember what the mystery is about. It's not just about rightly dividing. That's how you find out So you don't mix programs. And we find out what's to us. What did Paul say? We preach Christ. The mystery is about Christ. But what? Not according to prophecy. According to revelation of the mystery. And not him as Israel's king and Messiah. Him as head of the body. See, so you don't get your goals confused even. You know? But, you know, on Facebook, I have a lot of friends, Pentecostals, and some of the things that people come up with, because they mix it, you know, it's like, you know, a little bit of poison will ruin a glass of orange juice, you know? You know? And there's a lot of, I'm thinking one lady, just sweet, sharing things, but then she'll, and some good things sometimes, but then she sharing this, you know, sort of like a signs and wonders, you know, our guaranteed healing thing, you know, and that's not sound doctrine, because we're not guaranteed today. They were then, guaranteed healing, we're not. I think we should pray. Actually, I was going to tell you guys to pray for me, because I got some maybe that's coming back that I hope it doesn't, some with my neck, but anyway, keep me in prayer on that. But one thing I know, I do all things through Christ. Anyway, so it's in time, when do we need mercy and grace? In time of need, when we don't deserve it, when we mess up. That's when you know you're understanding grace. When you go before God's throne and say, God, you know what? I'm not walking consistent, but I don't got to run from you. Because you see me in your Son. I don't got to keep doing that. I can serve you. See, that's growth. And not running away. Or do we shy away from God when we mess up? Yeah, then we're not understanding. Dave did a real good message on that one Sunday school. I'm trying to figure out where I'm at here. 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13. A couple books back. This is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. See, we die with Christ, right? Romans 6, we are buried. And what we rose, we'll live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Uh-oh. That's in Paul's epistles. Is Christ going to deny us? Did we lose our salvation?
Not in that sense.
That's why context, right? Don't stop at one verse. You know what he's denying? Rewards. See where it says reigning with them? We're still going to reign. Because there's a teaching today, and I'll bet you they use this verse. I got to look more into it. You can't just take one verse and make a whole theology like 1 John 1:9. You know, it's all over the church, and it's one verse and make whole theology. If something's wrong in your life, what? Must have sin unconfessed in your life. Here, it's talking about ministry, rewards. Like where Paul said, he buffets his body lest he should be disqualified. Say what? Lose his salvation? See how self-righteous people, they love to find verses. They see you can lose your salvation. You know what he's talking about? That he would be disqualified from ministry. See, if we allow ourselves to just fall into some or step right into it, we're not going to be available. And Paul was what? The apostle of Gentiles or a pastor. They can get disqualified from being a pastor, right? If they went out, say, committed adultery on their wife, would you want to come to church? You know, when I was a pastor, I used to tell them, I said, you know, I never took any money, so I trained dogs. You know, I had my own business doing that. Me and that guy, Tom, you met. I told him, when I train dogs, I'm going all kinds of neighborhoods. You go in Chicago up Cicero Avenue, and you got all the hookers, and they have some really pretty ones out there waving at you. So I just wave and keep driving. I says, why do you think I don't stop? I said, because if I did, one thing, it isn't God's will, it would grieve him. So for him, number one. But I said, but for yous. I could say it for even here. Why I still don't do that? If I did, it would hurt yous. And when I was a pastor especially, you know, sometimes people look up to you. You know, they think of the pastor, though he's only a man. That's why we need to pray for them. But I said it would hurt you. It would affect your faith. That's why I don't do it. I tried to even be on time so they didn't worry about me. And no, yous aren't teaching. You know what I mean? Yous ain't up there. I just think about that because at one time... But I used to tell them, you know why I try and, you know, get to church on time, because I'm teaching. I know things happen with you guys. But if I wasn't here, say on time, even I think here, and say I was, say even you got here, right? So I'm, say, 30 minutes late, right? What would you be doing?
Waiting, getting
upset. You weren't worried? What happened to Paul? I hope he didn't get mad. You know, and you don't want to do that to people that you love, right? So that's what I'm talking about. It's love, that agape, that causes us not to do things many times. So, where is I at here again? 2:13. So that's what he's talking about, being disqualified from ministry, and us being disqualified from rewards, if you want. Denied rewards. Not because, keep reading, because see, the legalists will stop right there. Take the verse out of its context and then tell you, you know. But what's it say? If we deny him, he will deny us what? Rewards. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So what's that say? We're one with Christ, right? He's the head, we're the body, many members, one body, one head. We and him are one. It's like, why do you think marriage is a picture of our oneness with Christ? That's why God wants marriage to work, because it has a reflection. And when it doesn't, you know, that's not the unforgivable sin. But Christ can't deny us. We're a part of him for eternity. See? But because of that, what? We don't want to disqualify ourselves, right? And one thing, we're going to be there for a long time. You know, I'd like to have some rewards, but the reason why, mostly, I want to lay him at Christ's feet. I think a lot of rewards are going to be positions of authority that we'll have in the heavenly places. You know? And we're going to be there a long time. It's sort of like saving for retirement. You ain't too smart if you don't save for retirement, right? Because you live 20 years after retire. If you don't save much, you know, that ain't too wise. I know people who have saved and they're comfortable, you know, so that's in the physical realm. But we want to invest in eternity, even when we give. And you guys know I don't get paid for doing this, so I'm not saying anything about give to the church and you'll get. But we get to share. And even what we give financially, but not only that, it's giving your time. You know, Joanna, she's doing the Colossians videos for me on YouTube. Everyone who gets affected by that video, even though I taught, that's fruit in your account too. You know, everyone you led to the Lord and they affect, that's fruit in your account. Pastor Stam, he still got fruit coming and he's dead through his books, right? This one guy led the Lord in Cook County Jail. I knew him from when we were younger, right? And he's saved and he reaches a lot of people from the streets. That goes into my account. You know, all by grace. You know? Praise God. So, we see that Christ will, by grace, he won't deny us, even when we come up short, because we do every day. Praise God. For God to completely and eternally bless us with every spiritual blessing, thus demonstrating the depths of his grace, he had to deal with sin once and for all. Because if he didn't deal with sin once for all, what caused the Spirit of God to leave Adam?
Sin.
What caused Christ to say, Father, why have thou forsaken me?
He was made sin.
He was taking our place on the cross, right? Why did the Father turn away? And that would be the Holy Spirit too.
Because he can't look at sin.
Exactly, and because he was dealing with our sins. Why will the Father never leave us or Christ or forsake us? Because sin is dealt with. Otherwise, God could have say, forgave our sins, and then when we sin, if he didn't deal with it all, once for all, when we sin, what made the Spirit of God leave Adam? Sin? What would happen to us? Spirit of God would leave us. Why do you think people teach you can lose your salvation? If you sin, of course, they go, if you do enough sin. But is the wages of sin out of fellowship? Like they teach, like when you sin, you get out of fellowship with God. So then you confess your sins and you get back in fellowship. So in other words, when you sin, God swings his chair, his throne this way, and until you confess your sins, and then you're back. You know? But the wages of sin is not out of fellowship. What's Romans 3:23 say? The wages is that. So if God didn't deal with sin, the Holy Spirit would have to leave us. And it said what? We're sealed till the day of redemption. So what should that tell people? God dealt with sin, like Paul says, once and for all. Says in Hebrews 2. Actually, go to John 19:30. This is Christ on the cross. When Jesus had therefore received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You know what that word means? If I pronounce it right in the Greek, telelestai. It means paid in full. Jesus said the sin issue between man and God is finished. It's paid in full. Now, I'm going to believe what Jesus says. I don't care how big the pastor, how big the church, how famous a theologian is, I'm going to take God's word for it. And, you know, well, we dealt with that issue, so I'm not going to go too much back, but just maybe somebody listening. And again, what's three keys to learning? Repetition.
Repetition.
Right. And for understanding the verse, what's three keys? Context, context, context. So Christ said it's finished and paid in full. Go to Hebrews 9:12-14. See, there was a system in effect already, wasn't there, for forgiveness? For past sins? What was that system called?
Sacrifice.
It was a law, right? And they had a sacrificial system that over and over and over. Well, if God wanted to have that type of continual forgiveness, he could have left that system in, right?
Mm-hmm.
But God wanted to deal with sin once for all. One time for all time, one time for all sin, which all covers what? Past,
present,
and future, our whole life. So Hebrews 9:12-14. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, this talk about Christ, but by his own blood. Yeah, I did say nine. By his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained how long?
Eternal
redemption for us For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctifying to the purifying of the flesh. You see, that was outwardly. How much more? See the much more? Shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. See, it's dead works to try and get forgiven today. It's dead works. You're trying to clean up your flesh. You're denying justification, one thing. And you wonder why people don't feel forgiven. You ever hear people? I heard one lady by Moody Bible Institute. We're at this. There was a debate by an atheist and a Christian scholar. And she was saying, you know, I just don't feel forgiven. No wonder. So much teaching. And the thing is, it don't matter what's being taught. It matters, what does this word say? Are you going to believe the word? My old pastor used to say, you become a Christian adult when you leave where you realize, I can learn from men, but I'll let this word of God be my authority. They're not my authority. My pastor is not my authority. The Berean Bible Society is not my authority. This Word of God, Jesus Christ, through Paul, the Word rightly divided, this is our authority. And that's where we learn truth. Now, I can learn from my pastor, can I? I can be corrected by my pastor. I appreciate him because he's so right on the money. But what I'm saying, never follow one person. I always tell people, don't believe a word I say unless I'm teaching accurately this Word of God and what? Rightly divided. Because you can teach the Word of God or Christ according to prophecy, right? And then you're going to think He gives you power to cast out demons, so you're going to go look for some demons to cast out, especially ones with long fangs and, you know, or whatever, or go, you know, they were promised what? That they could heal the sick, right? I don't see nobody clearing out hospitals today. And then my wife told me a story, because she used to go to, and so many wonderful charismatic and Pentecostal people, I'm not picking on them, it's just they don't rightly divide the word and they get a confused message. Her friend was dying of cancer, right? Very special friend she worked with. And because the church she was going to, they taught, confess a hedge of protection around her, you know, and then she's confessing healing over. She'd drive around the house. Well, guess what happened? She died. Now, what do you think that does to my wife's faith? And what will they say? Not the Pentecostal, but the leaders. They'll say, it's because you didn't have enough. They won't say I was wrong. I didn't rightly divide the word. And God's not wrong. There's something wrong with you and your faith.
Yeah.
You got unconfessed sin. You ain't got enough faith, you know. So, Christ did it. He sat down in verse 13, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. The priest could never sit down in the temple, you know that? Because the work was never done. Over. Getting forgiven over. And they had even for their own sins. But Christ sat down. Why did he sit down? Because he wasn't lying at the cross when he said it's finished. That work was done. And verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected or completed forever them that are sanctified. You're set apart. Go to 10:10. By that will we are sanctified, set apart through what? The offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How long? Once for all. See, and then in 12, that's where he sat down. Praise God, that's all by grace. Go to Ephesians 4, 30 to 32. And, you know, everybody thinks not everybody, but a lot of teaching out there. How do you greet the Holy Spirit? Oh, if you got sin in your life, right? The filthy five and dirty dozen. Oh, the preachers. Don't greet the Holy Spirit. Holding back your money from God. You know, or out there smoking that wicked weed, or, you know, and not them things ain't good to do, right? Why, the money thing, you know. But anyway, what really greets the Holy Spirit is when we're not allowing Christ to express His love to us. Because right in the context here, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, before that, He's showing some things to take off the old man, put on Christ, let Him be seen in us, right? But when he gets to grieving the Holy Spirit, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. What's the day of redemption? There's a day we're looking for. He already redeemed us, but that's when He's going to take us. It's sort of like, you know, you paid for something, you go pick it up. Christ has purchased us. He's coming to pick us up. And we ain't looking for thy kingdom come from heaven, right? And Him to put His foot down on earth. We're not even looking for the body of Christ to come to earth. We're going to meet Him in the sky. We're not looking, thy kingdom come. It's, you come, Lord, we're going. Praise God. So let all visit. Here's what grieves Him. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, here's what grieves the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, what's bitterness? You got some unforgiveness and you didn't let it go and it's getting bitter and it's working in you. And here's how it works out. And anger, see how you can become, when you got unforgiveness, you become an angry person. Or you keeping it in, right? You didn't forgive, and what happened? It explodes. See how practical the Word of God is? And clamor, what is that? Screaming and stuff. Clamor means a lot of noise. Yeah. And evil speaking, so what? I'll get them back. I'll just tear up their reputation. Let it be put away from you with all malice. That's how I'll get you back. And what? And be ye kind one to another. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to produce. Tender-hearted, not hard-hearted. Forgiving one another, what? Even as when you confess your sins, then God will forgive you. Is that what it says?
No.
Even as God, for what? Not your confession's sake, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. What's has mean? He will? See, it's past tense. And that's all by God's grace. We're objects. One of the things that God has given us and we're objects of His graces is in forgiveness. So you see that He had to deal with sin once and for all? So through Christ's cross, God has made a way for every person to come to Him. Sorry, our Calvinist friends, who I love also. You know, that he says, what do they say? God elects some. That means if you're not an elect, you're elected to salvation, then He can't come.
Right.
There was I loved it, a picture on Facebook. It's Jesus with the little girl bending down saying, I'm sorry, honey, you can't come to heaven. You're not one of the elect. And I thought it was a real good picture. That's a really, you know, there's a whole, I'll tell you, Christendom is filled with that type of teaching, you know. But it's not accurate. Remember, Christ was called God's elect. So election doesn't mean to, and angels, God's elect angels, can angels be saved? No. There's either fallen angels, they're demons now, they were angels, and there's God elect. What does God's angel do with God? Serve Him, right? That's election, means service. Christ served God, the Father, right?
Minister of spirits.
Exactly. That's what election is. We're elected, and predestination, if you look in Ephesians chapter 1, We're predestined to be conformed into the image of Christ, not predestined to be saved. He's writing in what? Believers. The predestination is not to salvation, it's to being, that's what God wants to do, to conform us into the image of Christ. And that's all by His grace. So, through the cross, Christ's cross and His cross work, God has made a way for every person to come to Him. What did Paul say? There's one mediator between man and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He said that we should pray in those in authority. He's talking about the government, actually. We as believers, we can disagree with our mayor, or our governor, or our president, or whoever, but we still need to pray for them. We don't got to agree with the worldview. So we can live peaceably. That's what we want to do, right? But he says, there's one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said God desires all men to be saved. And then what? So we need to reach out to people with the light of the gospel of grace. That's why we got to rightly divide so we can get the salvation message straight. And then what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. What's that? Rightly divide. Understand the mystery of Christ, who you are, and what's God's will for the body of Christ. So through the cross work, God has made a way for every person to come to Him. The issue now is man's acceptance or rejection. See, God gives humans a choice. Is it going to be faith or unbelief in Christ as Savior? We're going to get two more verses and we're going to end. John 3:17. You know, when a new believer, what do most churches give? What book do they give a new believer when they...
John.
Usually John. Mm-hmm. John's still under law. There's some things we learn. We learn a whole bunch. Look at the pastors going through the book of John, right? But you know how you're saved in the book of John?
Works.
Believing Christ. He's the Messiah. Christ said, I write these things to you, you might believe that Jesus is Christ, Son of God, and believing, you may have life in His name. They had to get water baptized, repent to be baptized for what? The remission of sins, not as a testimony, because that was part, they were going to be a kingdom of priests. And what was the priestly initiation, right? Washing water, baptism. They had to sell all their goods and give it to the poor, and you see that and that kingdom church in after Pentecost, that wasn't the beginning of the body of Christ. That wasn't something new. It was a continuation of that program. They were added to, it said. Added to ain't something new. The body of Christ, the church of today, didn't start till Paul was saved. And that's, he said he was saved as a pattern for them who would believe after. But we learned some things in here. You learn Jesus as God. The Gospel of John points out a whole lot about that, so we can learn that, but watch. So I said, you rightly divide the word. Because if somebody could believe Jesus is the Messiah today, and does that mean they're saved? No. Because they didn't trust He died for their sins. That's the Gospel today. We're not the Gospel of the Kingdom. We're the Gospel of what? The mystery. The Gospel of the grace of God. That's what we're under. So John 3:17, we see God's attitude. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but what? But that the world through Him might be saved. That was God's attitude. Why did God send them? One thing, God so loved the world, right? And then through Paul we find out He demonstrated that love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. So God wants to save everyone, but He won't force Himself on anyone. And it says, you know how we pray for people to get saved in our families and that? It's Sometimes they're the hardest people to share with. I don't know why, our friends and family. Stranger, hey, you know, let me get out my gospel gun on you, you know. But family, but faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, right? If we don't share with them the Word of God, and if they don't see that reality, so we're not disqualified in their eyes, you know. It's not living perfect, but when they see a consistency and they see that agape love produced in our lives, and then when we share with them, because they won't just be, get saved by seeing that we're loving. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Then we'll end with this. Second Corinthians 5:17-21. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. See, you're not in Adam anymore. You died who you were in Adam. All things become new. And all things are of God. So how did we become new creations? By committing our lives, by, you know, turn from all of our sins, by getting water baptized, by trying to keep the law, you know, that list. No, it's by God, right? Who has reconciled us to himself, how? By Jesus Christ. And has given to us a ministry of reconciliation. Every single believer got a ministry. You say, I'm not in ministry. Yes, sir. The moment you trusted in Christ, he placed you in the ministry. You know what ministry means? Serving. We serve God. To wit, that God was in Christ on the cross, reconciling the world to himself. That's everyone. Now, is everyone saved?
No.
But God has put every person into a position of opportunity to be saved. And he's not imputing their trespasses unto them. Christ died for their sins. But is forgiveness salvation?
No,
not if you're listening earlier. Salvation is what? Life. Right? Spiritual life. When we were dead in our sins, in the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, what? God made us alive, spiritual life, right? So God made a way that they can come and receive this life freely by grace. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now here's what Paul was preaching. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is what? Someone who represents another land, right? We're ambassadors from heaven, as my old pastor said, on loan to planet Earth. We're here for a short period. And an ambassador represents, right? Do they go, unless you're Clinton, go acting wild sometime and stuff, you know? But usually an ambassador has is very aware they represent something, their country, you know? And that's us too. Before unbelievers, we represent God, you know. And so, we're on loan the planet Earth for a short period. Now, then as ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you through us, so God is speaking through us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. See, God did his part on reconciliation, but still unbelief keeps someone from being saved. They have to trust. And that's how they're reconciled. And then they enter into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. For he has made him to be sin for us. He took every sin we'll ever do. Who knew no sin. That what? We might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're objects of God's grace. We are the righteousness of God. You say, no, but you don't know how I think, how I act, my attitudes, you know, what I did this morning. You are the righteousness. If you're in Christ, again, and that's why we keep coming to a grace church, to a grace study, right? to be reminded, because Satan's going to bombard us.
Yeah.
Again, he'll try and one thing, discredit the message of grace, the mystery. If he can't do that because you keep the doctrine, he's going to try and discredit you. He'll try and lead you into some place you shouldn't be going, or he's going to have people attacking you. And if that don't work, he's going to try and discourage you. And that's where a lot of believers, you know, because they go by their feelings. But all by God's grace, we can do all things through what? Christ who strengthens us. And God has given us, I'm just getting in a study on it, on that spiritual armor. We need to understand Satan and realize how slick he is. He has a great wisdom, not like God's, because he's a created being. But compared to us, we're no match. But when we take that edifice of doctrine, build it up in our soul, and apply it in the details of our life. And what did Paul say? To stand in that evil day, right? When Satan throws things our way. And that's when you appropriate by faith what you've learned, what you have. It's all spiritual blessings. And so we don't got to fear Satan, even though he's going to try and discourage us from standing for right division, Christ according to the mystery, God's grace. But ain't none going to matter once we leave this life, right? Except what we did with the message of the gospel.
Yeah.
What did we do with Christ? What did we allow him to do to us? Making money, it's all going to be gone. We ain't taking none with us, right? Making a name, you know, I had a business. Like James says, yeah. Anyway, let's close with prayer. And then we have two songs tonight, because Mary didn't do hers in the beginning, so you just can decide whose goes first. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for grace in us, Lord. We can say we've been graced. Oh, completely undeserved, Father. Every day you show us grace. Every day in our walk, we're not always consistent, Lord. Yet our walk and our position and our identity is completely different. Help us separate that, God. And help us to see ourselves as you see us, so our walk will become more consistent with who you've made us in your Son. That your Spirit would just teach us to have that walk of grace, that walk of faith, that others might see your light in us, God. That we might know your word, that we might be able to wield that the sword of the Spirit. We realize it's not a club to hit somebody over the head, but it's a sword to poke them with it, just to share it with and let it do its work. And Father, I pray if there's one that's never trusted in you, whether it be here and maybe they've been in church all their lives, or through the internet or through the CDs, I pray, as my old pastor used to say, that they would lay their deadly doing down and come empty-handed to the cross and just behold him dying for their sins. Blood, his skin shredded, his face beat up beyond recognition, spiked. He's dying a criminal's death, and he who knew no sin became sin for us. I pray they would personalize that, Lord, and trust in him alone, by grace alone, just through faith alone, and receive your gift of eternal life, spiritual life, forever life. And I pray for us, Father, that do know you. I just pray that your Spirit takes your word and just energizes us, fills us with the zeal to serve you, God, based on truth. And that we wouldn't go by our feelings. We would go by the doctrine. That your Holy Spirit would teach our minds, illumine our minds to the truth of the Word, thereby illumine our spirits, teaching our minds, working in our attitudes, thereby governing our actions. And then we would have the feelings, Father. We wanted the feelings first. That's what the church is doing, trying to get excitement and feelings and feel-good milk and music. So we just, whatever's done here tonight, Lord, we just give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And I pray you'll just use, anoint the ladies as they sing a couple songs, and thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
So, okay, you want to go first then?